Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014. This is episode 79 of The Big Show. And I know I say this every week, but I really do appreciate the fact that you tune in week after week or download or listen or however you want to phrase that. You know, I very much enjoyed doing this show. I very much enjoyed doing this podcast. And I wouldn't do it if you didn't keep downloading and listening and emailing and telling me what you think of the show. So I really appreciate that. And, thanks. Well, I think we have just a really, really cool show today. There's a lot to talk about, as ever. I mean, it seems like the stuff doesn't slow down even as we start to get into, you know, some of the heat of summer. I don't know about where you are today, but it is a scorcher here in New Jersey. It's like 90 degrees already, and I'm recording this, you know, first thing in the morning, so geez. But nonetheless, you know, there's so much good stuff. And today I want to talk about what's working in digital right now, what's working in marketing right now, because there's so much change going on. And here we are halfway through the year, which blows my mind. I can't imagine we're already 6 months through the year. It seems like 2014 just began a couple of weeks ago. And now we're already starting to gear up for 2015 in many cases, which is just crazy. But I want to start by looking at, there was an article on Advertising Age, in Advertising Age, however you want to say that, called "The End of Marketing Comes to Procter and Gamble." Now, anybody who's listened to the podcast for a long time or read my blog for a long time or talked to me at any length knows that I'm a huge, huge fan of Procter & Gamble. They are very, very, very sophisticated marketers, very savvy, very intelligent, and it is very worthwhile to think about what it is they're thinking about, you know, to pay attention to how they approach certain things. And what they've done is this is really a change in titles, less than a change in responsibility. They're no longer calling their managers marketing managers. They're calling them brand managers because they really want to put the focus on where the brand is and how consumers perceive the brand and how the brand really serves the needs of its customers. Now, if you think about what Procter & Gamble does, and this will really help you understand why I'm such a big fan of them. I've said many times before, you know, what Procter & Gamble sells is a commodity product, with no disrespect to it. But I mean, soap detergent, as a for instance, you know, and various types of home cleaners and, you know, home health products and things like that, those are kinds of commodities, right? I mean, I do believe some detergents are better than others. I do believe Procter & Gamble's detergents are better than others. I've bought Tide in my house. We're a Tide family. I've bought Tide my whole life. I use it. You know, my family uses it. My mom used to use it. Her mom used to use it, I think. You know, and they've done a good job of telling us this box of soap flakes is a better box of soap flakes than all of the others out there. And I believe that. I think it is because they've invested in the product, because they've invested in building that brand, because they've invested in delivering on the promise that they make again and again and again. That's fantastic. And that's what we're trying to do with the brands we work on. You know, I wrote a piece about Procter & Gamble not too long ago where I talked about, if you think about how they're handling their budget, what I'd said was a Procter & Gamble executive recently said the company is reducing its marketing budget this year, but still expects the overall impact to be well ahead of previous years, thanks in part to a bigger focus on mobile and social strategies. That P&G executive was their chief financial officer, And the audience to whom he said this was Wall Street investors during their quarterly earnings call. Now, that's huge that they're saying digital and social, specifically, are where they need to be putting their money to ensure they get the kinds of returns they want. And I think this relates highly to a new survey that's up on Marketing Charts that details the top priorities, the strategic priorities, according to a group of marketers surveyed for the coming years. And the top four just leapt off the page at me. The first was proving the value of marketing activities with financial outcomes, right? We're going to make sure our marketing ties back to a financial win. They want to achieve a single view of customer and marketing data. They want to advance their marketing automation efforts. And they want to integrate digital to achieve improved results. So if you talk to most marketers, they're going to tell you those four or some combination of those four are their top priorities, at least according to the survey. And frankly, according to the people I talk to, that's right in line with what I hear from my clients. It's right in line with what I hear from people who comment on this blog, who email me from this podcast, that those are the kinds of things people wonder about and worry about and think about, particularly as they look at the back half of this year and as they start to think about what they need to do in 2015. And so I kind of want to talk about what I think works, you know, right now for here we are, for where we are. The first of these is mobile. Now, I know I talk about this a lot, right? I'm sure there are some of you going, oh boy, here he goes again with mobile. But it really matters. It's really huge, you know, and it matters not just in the States where we know it's big and we know it's got such a big role. But eMarketer has new research that shows the majority of people in Canada are going to use mobile to access the web or use mobile to access the web. So, I mean, mobile is enormous. I talked about this surprising set of facts about mobile and e-commerce last week and talked about how big mobile is here in the States, how big it is in a variety of markets across around the world. And we're seeing it everywhere that mobile is playing a really big role. Comscore has a piece that talks about how apps now account for half of all digital media time. So your customers aren't just using the mobile web, they're also using apps to connect and find the information that they need. Another eMarketer piece looks at the rising tide of mobile app engagement that basically underscores the same thing that Comscore does. But it just goes to show that how big mobile is. Now, Mobile Marketer has a great look, and I highly recommend you check this out, of the top 10 mobile advertising campaigns from the first half of 2014, because it will show you great tips and techniques and best practices that people who are doing mobile well are doing to get their customers to engage. It's really worth checking out. And it's not just a B2C thing. Another Marketing Charts study shows that most senior execs report using a smartphone to research business products and activities. Business products and services. So your B2B customers are also big on mobile and using mobile a lot to answer their questions. And I've said this tons of times before, but it's because it's right at hand. It's right there. They can just reach out, pick it up, find the information that they need when they need to do it. So mobile is incredibly important. Another factor from mobile, and this is another technique that absolutely works, something you've definitely got to be focused on as you go forward, is email. The New York Times has a piece from this past week, just a couple days ago, that says, for email newsletters, a death greatly exaggerated. One of the top activities among people on their mobile phones is checking their email. And email is a great medium for reaching people, whether they're on desktop or whether they're on mobile or whether they're on a tablet. I mean, who doesn't check their email almost first thing when they get near a screen of some type, whether it's their phone, whether it's their tablet, whether it's their laptop? Almost everybody just immediately goes and checks their email. And that's why email continues to work. And it's something you need to continue to think about and continue to focus on. The next is think about your data and how you can integrate your data. Get Elastic has a terrific piece that shows how digital retailers are using in-store analytics to align with their online stuff. And if you think back onto those top priorities of achieving a single view of customer marketing data, that's right in line. I mean, how do we think about how our customers interact with us in-store or in our restaurants or in our hotels or on property or wherever it happens to be that they come and interact with us, that we can tie that data together to get a better picture of what it is they're doing so that we can then get a better picture of, is it delivering financial results, which again is one of those top strategic priorities. And if it isn't, probably ought to be. Now, Mobile Commerce Daily has a piece that talks about multi-channel retail support. And I love this quote. I think this is awesome, where they're talking to a guy named Chris Lasacco, who's the mobile strategist at PunchKick Interactive in Chicago. And he's talking about beacons and how beacons can be used to actually connect customer information and connect the data, connect the dots amongst our customers. This is from that article, and this is a quote. He says, at some point, someone is going to link their customer database with a well-conceived application, offline location mapping, a creative trigger strategy, and a mobile payments network to create the first fully connected offline purchase experience that cycles back to bolster the database from which the prompt originated. The tools are all there. The pieces are all in place. It's just a matter of tying those together. So we've talked about mobile, we've talked about email, we've talked about data. You also have to focus on your financial results. How do you get your customer to pull out their credit card or swipe their phone at a mobile payment source or things like that to really get them to buy and prove that your marketing is leading to success financially, financial measures? I wrote a post about a week ago for Biznology called The 5 Laws of Effective E-Commerce Websites. And it really gets into this at some length, you know, but the first one is you got to focus on your customer's goals. What is it your customer is trying to achieve and how can you help them do that? You know, one of the things I like to say is that marketing really is next quarter's sales. Your job is to use your marketing, whether it's online, whether it's offline, whether it's mobile, whether it's email, to direct people towards actually taking a purchase action. And the best way to do that is help them accomplish what their goal is. What is it they're trying to do when they show up in store or online? How do you help them figure out what it is they need to do next so that they'll say, oh yeah, I do want to buy and you've just made it easy for me? Make it friction free. The next thing I want to talk about and the last thing I want to talk about is really how you focus on millennials. Now, I've talked about millennials a lot in the past, but they are the single largest demographic or close to the single largest demographic in the market today, and they're only going to get bigger as more of them reach their majority. Marketing Charts, again, has a thing that talks about how millennials spend more time with digital than traditional media. They go on to say they spend more time with TV than any one channel. But if you look at digital as a whole, they spend more time there than with TV. TV only accounts for about 37% of their time. Only. I mean, that's a lot, let's be fair. But that means that 63% is some other channel, almost all of which are digital. That's huge. TechCrunch highlights a study that says teens are using Facebook more. Even though there was some rumors out there that Facebook was dying amongst teens, looks like it's going to happen. And think about, you know, I've talked about the AgFam group plenty of times, Apple and Google and Facebook and Amazon and Microsoft, and consider what they're doing. And they clearly understand the need to focus on the coming generations. Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post not long ago. And the Columbia Journalism Review has an interesting article about what Bezos is doing with the Post. Now, I realize this isn't Amazon, but it should give you insights into the way Bezos thinks, and I would assume the way Amazon thinks, and from everything I've seen, the other AgFam players also think. So this is from the Columbia Journalism Review. Quote, Bezos said that continued cutting would only lead to irrelevance, that the Post would have to work to cultivate a younger audience, and that success meant growth. What has been happening over the last few years can't continue to happen, he insisted. All businesses need to be young forever. If your customer base ages with you, you're Woolworths. End quote. Now, if you don't know who Woolworths is, that's exactly the point. Your customer base can't age with you. You have to keep getting young. So, again, you got to think in terms of mobile. You've got to think in terms of email. You've got to think in terms of tying your data sources together and driving to sales. You've got to think about how you can actually drive towards a financial result. And you've got to think about how you can focus on millennials and help them do what they do more effectively. Now, I wrote a couple of posts the last couple of days that you might want to check out. One was a top 10 digital marketing and e-commerce post from June that should give you some tips and tricks and techniques that are being used and are popular among other marketers. And the other is specific to hotel marketers, but they were the 14 best posts of the first half of 2014. Again, based on how many people read them, how many people liked them, how many people shared them. So using all of this information together, mobile and email and data and pointing to an e-commerce result and millennials, that's really going to help you figure out how to address your customers' needs most effectively. And ultimately, that's what's working in digital today. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time. Actually, we're a little long today, but I do appreciate you tuning in. I do appreciate you sticking around and listening. As I said at the top of the show, I wouldn't do this if you didn't, so thanks so much for tuning in. I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast. You just go to timpeter.com/podcast and click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes there. You can find me in Stitcher Radio or iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, Tim Peter Thinks, or plain old Thinks Out Loud, and we should show up. And as ever, you can email me. Just send an email to podcast@timpeter.com, and I will either reply to it directly or read it here on the air, and maybe it'll be the basis for my next episode. Anyway, folks, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope it's cool wherever you are and that you're having a great time. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And I'll look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.